Well, good morning, Father Russell Pollard. Lovely to have you with us again.
Good morning. How are you, Father?
Very, very well. You cannot help but be well on a beautiful day like this.
Indeed.
Father Russell, lovely to have you with us, and let's see what you can share with us today about our Catholic comment on various things happening around the place. Racism. You've recently produced a very beautiful piece, very thought-provoking piece, Racism, Our Gaping Wound, Black Monday, and so on. Tell us about this.
Well, you know, I mean, over and over again, you see this kind of resurgence of racism in one way or another in the country. Just before we saw what happened on Monday, which ended up being a big race debate on social media, what we had as well was that incident in Pretoria with two students, and those two students were out one night, and they cell phone got stolen, and the next thing was they landed up, you know, having a big racial slur about this. They didn't condemn theft, but they condemned people of a different color for stealing their phone. This video went viral because they put it on the wrong group. And both of them were suspended, and one of them lost their financial aid from the Ramaphosa Trust because of what they said.
Mm.
And so, you know, over and over again, we see how just beneath the surface, there's always this kind of race tension in the country that's going that seems to boil over.
Mm.
Now, the bishops in 2016 issued a pastoral letter on issues around racism, calling for dialogue, discussion, to face it, to find ways together that we can overcome it so that there can be some sort of healing.
Right.
Linked to that, I just finished recently reading the book by Archbishop Makgoba, his new book called Faith and Courage, where he talks about, you know, this abscess that needs to be sort of popped so that in a controlled way, so that some sort of catharsis can take place in people, because both those who were the victims and the victimizers all need healing. And so what I'm trying to do in that piece is say that, you know, 2 years ago, or a year ago, was it 2016? I'm already in 2018.
Yes.
A year ago, the bishops put out this very good letter. In fact, I think it's one of the best pastoral letters that they've put out for a long time.
Yes.
Where they urge, you know, discussion about these matters and to fear not and to give it some sort of theological foundation. And I'm not sure that too many people even know that letter exists.
Mm.
I don't think it was picked up in parishes. I don't think that people really spoke about it. And I think it's worth going back to that now, given the context we find ourselves in, given the fact that things are tense, and looking at that letter and saying, well, you know, the way that the bishops are suggesting go forward here is perhaps a way that we should say, let's try it. Let's get people reading that letter. It's not a very long one, and reflecting on it.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's always the problem, isn't it, with statements? We spend so much time producing these very good, thought-provoking statements, and they just get relegated to the bookshelves and so on. This is one of those statements, the call to overcome racism, that, well, I wonder, as you say, how many people have actually seen it, how many know about it, and let's hope that some people might just try and find out about this. Maybe contact the diocese or their bishops and so on and just find out, look, where is this statement and why haven't we come to know about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually on the Bishops' Conference's website, and there'll be a link in the article which will be published today on the Jesuit Institute's website. There'll be a link to that statement by the bishops, which is on their website. So, you know, it is easily accessible. I think people just don't know that it exists.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you know, somebody has to tell them. What we try and do on Radio Veritas is to bring to people things like this. And I think we must have brought this out at the time when it was released, because we always try to highlight and bring to people's attention statements which are issued by the Bishops' Conference or things which come from Rome. Every day we are bringing interesting information about statements of our Holy Father or about what the Vatican is producing and so on.
And I think that's very important. I mean, you know, I'd say that, you know, there are lots of things that come out and don't necessarily have to be reading everything.
Yeah.
But if you look back over the last 5 or 6 years, they haven't issued too many pastoral letters.
Mm.
I think out of all that they've issued, this one is really a very good one and well worth looking at.
Okay.
And well worth taking for discussion, for reflection, and dare I even say it, for prayer.
Right. Well, there we go. Well, thank you for bringing that to our attention now, Father Russell. And please God, people will go to the website of the Catholic Bishops' Conference and just have a look and see for themselves what the statement is all about. And maybe do something about it in their, in their parishes. Discuss it, or maybe make it available, put it at the doors of the church, or do something just to spread the information about what the bishops have said. But thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Welcome.
Okay, anything more about that? Shall we move on to another matter?
Oh, let's move on. I mean, yes. I think that this week has shown, again, after Black Monday, this is something that we really ought to be talking about and dealing with in a logical, kind of unemotional way. Otherwise, it's going to fester. Anyway, read the statement.
Okay, we'll do that. Now, listen, the other thing is the news in the past couple of weeks of the seemingly epidemic proportions of sexual harassment of women by politicians, businessmen, film stars, producers, celebrities. I don't know, the list goes on and on. I'm sure you've got something to share with us about this. What does it say about the world we live in?
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of these allegations, for example, go back, a long time. They're not just sort of recent in any way. If you look at this latest one with Jennifer Ferguson and Danny Jordan, we're talking 20 years ago. I mean, another deep kind of issue that needs to be tackled is this question of patriarchy and the way that it's been used the way that it's been used as an oppressive system, as a way of, doing these things that happen. The problem for us in the church, of course, is to confront this. We need to face the fact as well that we're on the back foot, because the whole authority structure of the church is men with power. I find it quite disconcerting. And people are talking about, that men have been emasculated and that's why a number of things happen. I'm not so sure that that's the case. It seems to me that there is a deep seated sense of entitlement still when it comes to many men, that they're just simply entitled to whatever they want, that they do not see women as equals, that for some men, if you read some of these stories, women have just become sort of are simply just sexual objects. It's deeply worrying if one sort of start to look at this from a theological perspective, and we start to talk about, we're all made in the image and likeness of God. Now, sometimes the kind of theology around this and reading of Genesis has almost been used to justify the fact that men are number one and women are number two. Many biblical scholars will tell you that this is this is not a correct reading of the text itself. But it seems to me that we have a really big problem to face up to. And where we need to start, there's a number of different ways. I mean, I think, first of all, that these people need to take responsibility. But we have to ask ourselves questions about the ways that young boys, are raised in society. Let me give you an example. I heard a 7-year-old the other day saying to his 4-year-old sister, they were having an argument, say to her, girls are weaker than boys, so so leave it or whatever it was. Well, this is interesting that already at that age he's got a sense that, women are weaker, whatever the case is. So we have to rethink the kind of messages that we inculcate right from the beginning.
Okay, indeed, that's true. So it's not just things that are happening at this time in life, but what's happening right at the beginning? It's a kind of rearing, bringing up children to mold and model themselves on the values of the gospel and the respect for people and human dignity and so on.
Yeah, and I mean, I think if one looks very carefully at even the writings of Pope Francis, I mean, one of the issues in Laudato Si for him is the fact that it's the breakdown in human relationships that has led to the destruction of the planet. And I think it's the same sort of thing, that so many things go wrong because there's an imbalance in the way that we think of people, of other people, the way men think of women, the way blacks think of white, the way you know, the rich think of the poor. Because those relationships are so distorted, and because we've bought into all sorts of ways doing the power play between all these different groupings, we land up with a situation where this imbalance just gets worse and worse. And I think the manifestations of this imbalance are things like what we are seeing, with all these allegations. I mean, I was astounded, Father Emil, so many people, for example, so many women, people that I know on Facebook, had written "Me Too" there as part of that campaign. That they too had been one way or another harassed or, you know, assaulted or whatever the case is. This is not something that's just happened in isolated incidents, but it seems like it's all pervasive in our society and in our culture, and it's not just in South Africa, but it seems to be a global issue.
You know, it's so true. It's so true what you're saying there. And it just seems to go on and on. You seem to have a lot of noise behind you there. Where are you? Are you in the...
I'm losing you there.
Where are you? There seems to be a lot of noise in the background.
Oh, I'm waiting at the airport. I have a flight to Cape Town just now because we've got a meeting down there accrediting the spiritual director's training course.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, listen, let's move on then. Thank you for those comments. Always useful to have those comments. It's talking about something we wish wasn't there, but it is there. And let's at least pray about this and see whether we can, the situation can right itself. But it's a kind of situation that's pervasive in society. We're in the month of November now, and... this is the month.
To add something, one more thing to that, and that's to say, the unfortunate thing is that if wrongs have been done, it seems to me that, for example, let me take the Danny Jordan story.
Yeah.
I mean, to come out with a statement like he did yesterday is actually to rub salt in the wound rather than to give a comprehensive response, or even just to say, take responsibility. This happened, or. And that's another problem we've got. We live in a real culture of impunity. So it's not just political impunity. I mean, it's not just the president who does what he wants.
Yeah.
But there's a number of other people who think that they can also just do what they want. And so I think that's another edge of this whole thing is, the culture of impunity where people think I can do what I want and I can still get away with it.
Exactly. Power play. Russell, listen, this month, November, it's a month when we protest at the violence against women and children, and rightly so. I think there are lots of happenings around the place about this. Yet, how serious can we really be about this topic in South Africa when violence against the most vulnerable of all, the unborn child, in the form of abortion, is allowed? Does the belief in this sacredness of life not include them?
Absolutely. I mean... most moral theologians will tell you that there is a real kind of connection between, all these things that morality is kind of like a seamless garment, you can't separate out one thing and say it's wrong and then say another thing is right. And so, it is very hard to be serious about women and children and honor them in a month and say we need to look after them. And then you have this kind of attitude where, abortion is something like you can get, on a number of street corners. But even worse, it is kind of pitched as a sort of a moral good. That this is okay. Now, when this question was raised, it's very interesting to me. I don't want to get into an argument, Father Emil, about, when life starts and all that, because I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor. But when I was parish priest in Bromfontein, I was there for 7.5 years, and one of the ministries we had there was a group for women who had abortions to try and support them, because I discovered that many young women who were at university got themselves into trouble and they chose the abortion route, and then there was no catch net for them afterwards, so we decided to start something there. And one of the things that I found fascinating and for me was so telling is that, if your spouse or your child or a good friend dies, people struggle, But life kind of goes on. And for many of the women that I dealt with, the ability to move was very difficult. They were very traumatized. So, for example, the day that was predicted as the due date for the children, they would always get depressed around that time. And one of the people who came to that group who had heard about it had an abortion 32 years previous to that, and she still every year said that on that predicted day of birth, she struggled and she felt her mood that month wasn't good, and she kind of really didn't look forward to the month of September. Those kinds of stories we don't get told. We get told that this is out there and it's available. We get told that it's okay. Women should have control over their own bodies and all this stuff. Yeah. No one actually deals with what happened afterwards, and that was a big eye opener for me. Mm-hmm. So when we do make the most vulnerable a kind of also just object that we can get rid of, one does ask very serious questions about the culture that we live in, mm-hmm. and our seriousness mm-hmm. about any other kind of moral absolutes like mm-hmm. the protection of women mm-hmm. and the protection of children.
Mm-hmm. Thank God there are some organizations and people that do take care or have sessions or weekends and that sort of thing precisely for these kind of people, because there must be some kind of trauma that's attached to a woman who has an abortion. It's not just have an abortion, that's the end of the story. The wound is there, it's going to live on, and one has to deal with this. And good for you that you dealt with this when you were parish priest.
That wound really lives on. I think my idea was to kind of get a woman and a psychologist to be at those meetings. And when I said to them, that's what I'm looking for, they said, well, you can do that, but we still want you to come, which surprised me that they did. But you're absolutely right. The after trauma, the kind of silent after trauma that nobody hears about, that many of the people that I came into contact with dealt with, it's something that is just inexplicable. And so when we advertise these things and say, oh, these things are all freely available or whatever the case is, we're only telling one side of the story. And I think we have to be very careful. And I think that, certainly in our own moral tradition, when you say that, morality is a seamless garment, as soon as you start to say, well, it's okay to make an exception, all sorts of other exceptions start to creep in.
We need to emphasize the sacredness of life, and the Holy Father always talks about that. The Church speaks about it, and I know that the bishops and so on and priests always speak about the sacredness of life, and we need to emphasize that.
Exactly. And even if you think of his thing recently about the death penalty, the Holy Father said that this should be removed, that it's possible to use the death penalty. I mean, this is once again fitting into his worldview that the whole and all of life is sacred. We can never make an exception. As soon as we start to make an exception and say one life is more valuable than another, we get ourselves into very, very muddy waters. Yes, and then we wonder why things go so terribly wrong.
Absolutely. Father Russell, listen, thank you for your comments. A quick roundup with anything new from the Jesuit Institute?
Yes, Father Emil, it's just I think we spoke about it last week with Khania, it's to remind people about, especially young people, about making for us a little video, telling us what they want to tell the Pope and the bishops about the Synod on youth. What is it that they want from the Church? What is it that they think about? What is it that perhaps, that faith contributes to their life? Whatever they feel is a message they want to give. We're doing this simply because, there was a questionnaire that was sent out, and I don't think everybody is going to be able to have access to the questionnaire. Many, many people, a growing number, have got smartphones, or your parents have got smartphones. So anybody between the ages of 15 and 27, we're inviting them to make a little video clip of not more than a minute and send it to us, and we are going to compile a kind of little documentary of what young people around South Africa are saying about the Church, about their faith, about what they want to see that can hopefully be material which we will get to Rome in the form of a little documentary, and it'll be able to be screened there, and people can hear what young people themselves are saying.
All right. Well, what a wonderful creative idea. No, thanks so much for that. Russell, we've gone way over time, but thank you very, very much for sharing with us, and enjoy your trip to Cape Town, and I hope you're going to have a successful time.
Sorry about the noise.
Okay, all right. Have a safe flight, and thank you for talking to us.
Thank you very much, Father Emil.
God bless you. Bye now. That was Father Russell Pollard talking to us from the airport in Johannesburg on his way down to Cape Town.
Radio Veritas. Your Catholic Connection.